All right, guys, so we're in lesson 21 today. We're going to look at Paul's thorn, his thorn in the flesh. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Now, I've got some questions and observations I just want to make before we look at this passage. I remember when I came to Christ 39 years ago in the church and on Christian radio, that there was a lot of discussion back then about suffering. Questions were asked like, why do Christians suffer? You know what I'm saying? And I remember in my earlier years as a believer, that being a very prominent question. So that was back 1985. And as you think about it, it would make sense. Because as a nation, we were just coming out of the 70s and early 80s where things were tough. Inflation was high, you know what I'm saying? And the economy was not good in the 70s. We had the oil embargo, if you remember that. Gas prices were high. I remember Dad complaining about it being 50-some cents, you know what I'm saying? I don't know that anybody would complain about gas being 50-some cents now, right? You know what I'm saying? So, so suffering was on our minds. But then we didn't talk about it anymore at church. It wasn't a theological discussion because I don't think that's where people were at because we were, I think, going through good times. Do you think that the topic is being raised again now? Why do we suffer? You know, do you think that's an issue that we're looking at again now? You don't know that it ever stopped. Okay, all right. How many of you would agree with Bruce? Okay, Lori agrees with Bruce, okay. John, okay, everybody. So you don't think we were just as vocal about it, maybe?
I think it's something that people still ask us. Well, mostly it's not Christians that ask it. It's people who aren't Christians. Like, if God's away, why are you suffering?
Okay, so you think it's more on the part of unbelievers.
Right.
Okay, all right. Anybody else got a thought? Suffering. Yeah, do you have something you want to say, Mike? Go ahead. Okay, after a while, you just get used to it, okay? Gene says part of life. Mike said quit complaining. It isn't going to change, okay? All right.
There's still Christians, even young Christians, that leave the church because they think that everything's going to be fantastic.
Yes.
After they accept Christ as their Savior, and it's not.
Okay, did you hear what he said? So, like, young Christians leave because they're told that everything's going to be fantastic, and then they're like, no, it's not, okay? So, suffering is a part of our lives. And so what I want you to see is that the scripture, I found it interesting because before that question, why do we suffer, you really aren't going to find a definitive answer in the scripture. Okay? And the reason is because the Bible assumes from the fall on that you are going to suffer. There's just the assumption that different things are going to be difficult. What were you going to say, John? Okay, so you're seeing suffering as part of the conviction issue then. Okay, all right, that's a thought. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to show you that the Bible does assume that you're going to suffer. You're going to go through hard times. In fact, if anything, the concept that we have in Christianity, now you mentioned it, Bruce, about young Christians thinking everything's supposed to be great and fantastic. Where do young Christians get that? Because that's not in the Bible. Okay.
When they say it, everything will be okay, they mean possibly that Christ will get you through it.
Yes.
But young people take that to mean everything will be okay. I don't have to worry about anything ever again.
Okay, do you hear what Bruce is saying? Because I was like, how did they come to this concept? And he said, might be from how the presentation was made, and they took it one way, not necessarily the way it was meant to be given. So, yeah, we somehow come to that conclusion, and yeah, so let's talk about Paul's thorn. So what I want us to do, first of all, is I want to read, I want us to look at this whole issue of him having visions in verses 1 through 6. So remember, he's continuing his discussion about boasting and about what the false teachers boast in, and he's going to talk about himself here. So let's look at this. He said, I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Nothing to be gained by boasting. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who, 14 years ago, was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body. I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body. I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. All right, so let's take a look at this. All right, so first thing, Paul states it's not profitable for him to boast. Really isn't profitable. Would you agree with that statement? Is that true for all of us? It's really not of any profit for us to spend a lot of time bragging. You know what I'm saying? In fact, I think we've kind of got a concept of that for ourselves. And are you like me? I get bothered by people who brag a lot. It just kind of bothered me. It's like, okay, quit tooting your horn. You know what I'm saying? I understand you're great, but you don't have to keep telling me that. You know what I'm saying? So Paul states it's not profitable for him to boast. He will come to the issue of visions and revelations that they are focused on. So for some reason, the Corinthians were focused on visions and revelations. So Paul says, okay, you want to talk about visions and revelations? I'm going to talk about visions and revelations. Okay, if you want to talk about boasting, I'm going to talk to you about something that happened. So Paul tells of a man who was caught up to the third heaven. To the third heaven. Now, you might be saying to yourself, what in the world is the third heaven? Okay, so in the ancient concept of the world, okay, the atmosphere was considered the heavens. Beyond that was space. That was considered the second heaven. The third heaven was considered the abode of God. That is where God was, all right? So he's going to talk about a man who was caught up to the third heaven. So the third heaven is the dwelling place of Christ and the saints, which Jesus called paradise, okay? Remember what he said to the thief on the cross? Today you will be with me where? Paradise, right? Okay. So just so you understand, so he's going to talk about somebody who was caught up to there. Now, just real quick, who's this guy Paul's talking about? Anybody got a clue? Yeah, it's him. So why doesn't he just say, I was caught up to the third heaven? You got it, Tim. He doesn't want to boast. He doesn't want to brag like I've experienced something you guys haven't experienced. So he's humble. Listen, when you meet God and you experience God, that's not something to be boasting and bragging about. It's actually pretty humbling that you're even still alive. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you've met with the holy God and you've been taken to where he is. And so the reality is he can't say it's him. Although you can tell by the writing it's him. You can tell by the writing it's him. So here he is. The Corinthians were all focused on all visions and revelations. And Paul says, you want to talk about visions and revelations? Let me tell you about a guy who 14 years ago was taken up to the third heaven, to paradise. That's pretty wild, isn't it? So here's what he says. He doesn't understand how this experience took place. So when he says, whether in the body or out of the body, He doesn't know how it took place, you know, whether he was in the spirit or in the body. He just knows he had this experience. He just knows he had this experience. So Paul had a vision of paradise, which he was forbidden from speaking about. So whatever he saw, whatever he heard, he couldn't talk about it. He was forbidden from sharing his experience. Isn't that wild? Yeah. Now you say, is that the only time that's ever happened, George? No. If you go over to the book of Revelation, of course, there was somebody who was taken up out of the body into heaven, the third heaven, which was the Apostle John, which would be many years after this was written. He is taken up into heaven, and he hears the voice of seven thunders. And he's getting ready to write down what the voice of seven thunders is saying. And he's commanded not to write it down. So it's interesting, not everything we know about the future is told to us. Are we supposed to know? Just helping you understand. So there are some things that we're not to know right now. Which, by the way, I was noticing on Kindle, I was looking for Kindle books, and somebody was selling a book, What the Voice of Seven Thunders Said. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty wild book. Don't buy that one, you know what I'm saying? Because the guy who heard it wasn't supposed to say what it is, you know what I'm saying? So that was a crazy book. So he was forbidden from speaking about it. Now Paul says, I will boast of such an experience in the third person. He's not talking about it as his experience. He's going to talk about the experience of somebody else. Now, here's what he would rather focus on, though. Paul would rather focus and boast on his weaknesses. Now, is that normal? How many of you focus on your weaknesses? You're going for an interview. You're sitting there and saying, okay, what can you bring to the job here? And you spend your time talking about your weaknesses and what may not help the job. Is that a good thing to do? We don't even think that way in our culture, right? But rather than boast about this grand experience, and would you say that's a grand experience to be taken up to the third heaven, to paradise? Rather than focus on that, he's going to focus on his weaknesses. He's going to focus on where he's weak. That's really an interesting thing for him to do, I thought. So here's what it is. Paul would rather speak about truth than focus on boasting. He'd rather speak about truth than focus on boasting. So let's take a look at what he's going to focus on. Look with me at verses 7 through 10, and this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time talking here. Here's what he writes. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. All right, let's take apart what Paul's saying here, okay? So first of all, he's going to talk about a thorn was given to him. All right, so here it is, a thorn in the flesh. It was given in case he would be tempted to be prideful about the revelations. So he was given a thorn in the flesh lest he be tempted to be prideful about being taken to the third heaven. So, all right, so verse 7 kind of tells us that the guy that Paul's been talking about, I'll tell you about another guy. Verse 7 reveals to you it was him. And so to keep him from being conceited, He was given this thorn. Now, Paul uses the word thorn, which describes an instrument of torture. All right, so let me. When you hear thorn, what do you think of? First thing that comes to your mind. All right, pain. What do you? What picture do you have in your mind of a thorn? Huh? A rose thorn? Okay, yeah. I think of briars, because this is the time of year we're all going out in the woods, right? And you think about those little thorns. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about a little thorn. He's talking about, the word means an instrument of torture. So this is something brutal. Something brutal that he was given. So he uses the word thorn to be as an instrument of. So he also describes the affliction as the work of the demonic. So he's doing a dual thing here. He's talking about the physical aspect of it being painful, an instrument of torture, but he also says it's a messenger of Satan. A messenger of Satan. So there is a demonic aspect to it. Now, I want you to think for a moment, where else in the Bible do we see that kind of concept? Where else would we see it being described in two ways like this? Do you need some help? What Old Testament book? Job, you're exactly right, Mike. Job. Job chapter 1, chapter 2. Remember the story? Job doesn't even know this. The story is God is, the angels come and appear before him. Satan comes and appears before him and says, "Where you? What have you been up to? I've been going to and fro." And then God says, "Well, have you considered my servant Job? How there's no one like him." And Satan says, "Well, that's because you're protecting him." And God says, "Okay, well, you can take everything he has, but don't take his what? Life." So what does he do? He endures great suffering, right? It's chapter 2. "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him." "Well, it's because you're protecting him." "All right, well, you can touch him, but just don't take his life." And so he goes through a physical affliction. See, there is a physical description of what's going on there, right? But there's also a spiritual description that this was the affliction of Satan against him. And so Paul is telling us here that in spite of all these wonderful things that happened in his life, there was a thorn given to him, a messenger of Satan, to buffet him. Now, buffet, do you have any clue what that means? I'm not talking buffet, like let's go to the buffet after church. Blows, continual blows, to buffet him, to continually beat him down. Continually beat him down. And let's be honest. When we talk about suffering, we're not just talking about a one-time thing. Suffering is time with it, right? It goes on. It's more than just the initial blow. There's more to it when we talk about suffering, right? So the purpose of the affliction was to keep him from being prideful. The purpose of the affliction was to keep him from being prideful. So if you think about that, when we suffer, it really strikes at the heart of our pride, doesn't it? Because when we go through things, we realize there's stuff that we can't control, right? It's something that we have to endure. So the purpose was to keep him from being prideful. Now, here's what I want you to see that's interesting. Paul asked God to remove the thorn 3 times. Now, is there something significant about that? Look at what he says there. Verse 8, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. What is it about that verse that sticks out to you? Anybody? Okay. Okay. All right. That's good, Lori. All right. So What does that tell you? Here's the apostle, wrote half of the New Testament, influenced the Luke, who wrote what, his gospel in the book of Acts, who also influenced whoever the writer of Hebrews is. So more than half of the New Testament has some attachment to Paul. Either he wrote it or people are attached to him. He's probably, we would say, a super Christian. And here he is, he's talking about there was something given to him that he asked God three times to take away. What does that tell you? What's that? He didn't like it, okay? He didn't like it. But what does that do for you and I? What's that? Okay, that's good, Bruce. God's not always going to take away our pain, but I want to go one step before that. Here's where I want going with this. Sometimes Christians think that they can't complain to God. Sometimes Christians think that they can't go to God. They got to be spiritual and tough it out. You know what I'm saying? Tough it out. But what I see here is that here we have this apostle, and what does he do? Take it away from me, God, three times. He's asking God to take it away from him. And I think it's interesting that when you see the response of God, because that's what we're going to look at next, he's not rebuked for that. He's not rebuked he's not rebuking the apostle for, like, you know, hey, Paul, why are you even asking me to take it away? Don't you know my greater plan here? No. It's okay. It's okay to pour out your heart to God. No, he didn't even tell him why. Yeah, so that's another thing here is that we're going to see is God doesn't tell you why you're going through it. All right, say that again, Jane. Well, yeah, okay, because that's what we're going to see next here, okay? So what I want you to see is when we suffer, we go to God and we tell him. Think about the Psalms. The Psalms are laments. Laments are the cry of the heart. And a lot of the Psalms are, God, I'm going through this. My enemies are coming against me. Where are you? You know what I'm saying? Deliver me from my enemies. Those are the Psalms. So with suffering, the reality is you go to God and you express that to him. Now, Paul stated that the Lord told him his grace was sufficient for him. So here's what Paul said. You know, God, take this away from me. Well, it's not taken away, but God says, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, again, notice in that, I think it was said earlier, he didn't say why. Remember, that's the reason, question we've got in our mind. Why suffer? God didn't say why, but he just said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. God's grace will carry us through this. So God's strength is made perfect in our weaknesses. God's grace is made perfect in our weaknesses. So he's the one who strengthens you as you endure it. So because of God's grace, Paul looked forward to hardship. All right, let's stop. Let's take that in. Look at what he says there. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, for the sake of Christ, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, he looks forward to it. Now, is that normal? Huh? And so the struggle is, take this away from me till you come to a place like Paul and you say, okay, you're in control. I'm just going to rest in you. God's in control. And so it's good for us to acknowledge our weaknesses, because when we acknowledge our weaknesses, we have to go to who, folks? To the Lord, right? We have to go to the Lord. All right, so next week we're going to proceed right along. He's going to move from the issue of the thorn to talking about a response, an anticipated response. We're going to see that in verses 11 through 21. And that is his response to the Corinthians. And he doesn't want to be a burden to them.